The Australian Ballet presents Oscar, a new ballet by Christopher Wheeldon based on the life and writings of Oscar Wilde. Don't miss the world premiere of this powerful production, September 13 to 24 at Melbourne's Regent Theatre. Book now.
This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
I've met a new friend in the studio.
You have. It's about time you made some friends.
In the window.
It is our monthly segment with the beautiful Marissa from Second Chance Animal Rescue. Thanks for joining us again.
Good morning, lovely
people. Hey, Marissa.
People.
How are you going?
Good. How are you?
Are you a vet or just a lovely person?
Look, I hope I'm a lovely person. I'm a vet nurse by trade, actually, but I do all the things, so...
There you go. I didn't even know that. I never asked that question.
Yeah, I like to probe, Rach. I like to probe.
Probe away.
Yeah, so can I just ask one question for free? Because, you know, you might know stuff.
One question is what you get. Go for it.
14-year-old Shih Tzu.
Yep.
Who wants to attack and kill things like Akita fighting dogs. What is it with little dogs on a lead?
Yep.
Trying to attack big dogs. It's so embarrassing.
Yes, it would be. Look, have you heard of little man syndrome?
Talk to me about it.
Have you heard of little dog syndrome? It's very, very similar. It's almost like, you know, hold me back, Dad. I'm going to get him. When they're on lead, it just comes out. I don't even know what it's all about, to be honest. But it's one of these things. Training is needed. Yes, but it would be very embarrassing.
At 14. She's unbelievable. She just, you know, I said, Daisy, it's a bloody, you know, big dog.
But that's why dashhounds, chihuahuas, Jack Russells are always so aggressive.
One question.
Little dogs.
When she's off lead, does the same thing happen?
Nah.
There you go.
Sensational.
Yep. It's
she
the lead.
Loves
it's
everybody.
That bloody lead, you know?
What is it about the lead? But then I'm the same. when I'm on the lead on a Saturday night, I just go everyone.
Have you watched that show, the training show with like Carlos or whatever from the US?
That's right.
And he's like, it's the way that you hold the lead and it's all about the energy that you put into the lead.
Yeah.
That's me trying to do my
Carlos
accent.
It's a little questionable in some areas, I think. But look, I think you treat your dog with respect, understand your dog. Really, at the end of the day, they speak different languages to us. You need to understand their body language and what they're trying to tell us because they're telling you something, but do you understand it? So making that time to understand what your dog is telling you really makes a huge difference. Mm.
So how do you prepare your pet for the festive season?
Oh, good question. Look, there's so much to take into account, but I think the one main thing to take into account is making sure that you have a safe area for your pet. There's so much happening over Christmas. You've got a lot of people visiting. You've got unfamiliar faces. You've got different foods coming out. Everybody lets a little loose. So you need to make sure that you take everything into consideration when it comes to your pet safety over Christmas.
Everything you've just said could also apply to us.
True. Yeah. Does that mean it's somewhere safe for your pet, as in you pop them in this room or yard or wherever it is before you know that people might show up, or do you just give them access to it and if they feel overwhelmed, they can take themselves?
I think the later. I think it depends on your pet too. So my dog, Digger, he's a bit of a scaredy cat. So he came with the name, by the way, so we kept it. He is scared of life. But he's a big softy, but he looks so scary to other people. So what we need to take into consideration is if he is afraid of people, you know, we're putting him in a position to potentially do something that might be an issue. So get scared, he may bite, he may bark. So we set him up a quiet space where he can go when there's people around by choice. If he's worried, he can go there. Same with cats, you know, having an area with maybe a baby gate that if it's too much, they can escape, get away from other dogs, get away from people by choice.
Also, of course, New Year's Eve, a very important one. Explain the fireworks and all.
Fireworks for an animal is like almost us being in a war. Imagine the noises of a bomb. You know, to them, it's very similar. They don't know what's going on. It is so scary. And imagine that fear. So having a space to get away from all of that, having some music playing, having a bit of a buffer, if anything.
Marissa, have you heard of the thunder blankets?
Yeah, so like the jackets?
Yeah. Do you think they would help during
What's a thunder jacket?
So it's like a weighted jacket that helps with dogs anxiety. That get scared during thunderstorms is where it, I think, originated from. Do you think something like that could be helpful during this time of year?
Definitely doesn't hurt. The idea behind a thunder jacket or a thunder shirt is pressure points. So it helps with anxiety. It helps keep animals calm. It may not work for all of them, but look, it's one of these things that it's not worth, it's definitely worth a try.
Joy.
A pet is not just for Christmas.
A pet is for life. We do have Marissa from Second Chance Animal Rescue in the studio Hello. With us. And we're talking about all the things we need to keep in mind with our pets over Christmas. Pets as gifts, Marissa. Mm. Is it a big no-no?
It's such a controversial topic, isn't it? And Ooh. Yeah, so
where's
I'm
the,
about
where's the
to,
controversy?
Let me tell you. So, look, I've been in this industry for 15 years now, so quite a while. And yes, I definitely started with a no pets for Christmas thought process.
Mm.
Studies do show, though, they don't always come back. So when we talk about returns of animals coming back to a shelter or coming back just not working out in general, the studies do show, they've done lots of studies about this, the returns are not as high as we would think. And if you have a look at the studies, they do show that many animals that are given as gifts don't, it doesn't always end as bad as we may think it would. Mm. However, you do not want to give an animal without a thought process behind it. So you wouldn't give a pet to somebody who really doesn't want a pet, right? So it's making sure that that person is ready for a new animal, making sure that they've got everything they need and that it's actually a well thought out plan. It's not just, hey, have a kitten to a 90-year-old owner who has no thought process behind that. What happens if, you know, the person gets older, if anything changes? You need to have a plan for that animal and make sure that person is and that pet is supported.
I live in an apartment block and it just knocks me out to see people with large Labradors that should be running around and doing things. But my little Shih Tzu, terrific. So it's got to be the right animal for the right person
Absolutely.
For the right conditions.
Yes. And then take into account how many times have you thought about those Labradors that live in apartments. Maybe they go to work with their owner every single day. Maybe they are getting walked five times a day. Maybe that owner is a personal trainer and they're out all the time with that animal and it's got the best life. So it really just depends on that person's lifestyle, I guess, and what they give to that pet.
I love seeing people in the city with like giant mastiffs and stuff because they need little exercise.
Yeah.
This is like those really huge, huge dogs need the less exercise. So if they just go for a walk in the morning and a walk at night, they're usually pretty good. But the turds on little trees in the city. It's
big
not
dog,
a good time.
Big turds. And you see a lot of greyhounds as well. So they're the laziest dogs apart from a 5-minute super zooming. After that, they just want to lie on the ground or the couch all day if they fit on the couch.
Like me.
Great. Yeah, look, I'd love that too, to be honest.
Now, I've got another question around this time of year because my parents are coming back from overseas, not for a long time, but I'm going to bring their dog back up to New South Wales to them. That's a long drive. Mm. It's about 12 or 13 hours.
Big trip.
How should I navigate driving with El Doggo in the back of the car?
El Doggo, I love it. Lots of things to take into consideration. Hopefully El Doggo is actually a seasoned traveller. That would make things a lot easier.
Yes.
Making sure that there's plenty of pit stops for, you know, wee breaks and water drinks and just some time to stretch their legs, making sure that you've got some snacks available, making sure that there's a nice comfy blanket for them to sit on. Also making sure you've got proper harnessing and connection seatbelt wise for your pets. So many dogs are not harnessed properly in a car. And if there's a car accident, they go straight out the window. So making sure you've got a proper connection is really important.
And playing the right music. Like, how much is that doggy in the window on loop?
Oh, I think I'd jump out the window with that one, to be honest.
So long as there's no bark sounds, because he does not do well if he hears other dogs cannot see them.
Calming music. There's whole CDs out there for dogs and cats. We play them in the shelter.
Will it send me to sleep, though, if I'm driving?
Yeah, absolutely, probably.
Now, my other question is, how will I know if he's hungry or thirsty if he's in the back seat? Do you think he'll tell me?
When you're hungry, I'd say he's hungry. So just make sure there's little breaks, you know, every couple of hours, give him some water, snack time. You know, it's always snack time. Come on.
And, okay. And when you're driving that way, there's always parks and, you know, side places you can go to and those little country towns. Although
sniff the
you're probably
P-mail.
Going straight up the Hume.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And are boys easier than girls?
In what respect?
Well, because girl dogs seem to be able to hang on longer than boy dogs. Boy dogs just like got to go wheeze all the time.
Yeah, look, realistically, I think they probably pee just as much as each other. I don't know, I probably pee more than my male counterparts. But at the end of the day, I think just making sure that you've got wee breaks every couple of hours is important.
Maybe it depends if she's had puppies.
Things do change, I have to say.
Fair enough.
The perfect mix of music, news and interviews. Joy 94.9.
We have Marissa from Second Chance Animal Rescue here. Dexy's been attacked by Simon.
Oh, Simon's the cat, I'm guessing.
No, he's my boy. He's my Simon's my 2-year-old Siamese, who is the most delightful cat. Never been outside, has the most wonderful life indoors in the apartment. But those
hand
claws.
Is a scratch post.
Those claws. Well. Hello. Got all that, but I didn't realise how the claws could go through a blanket.
Yes.
So if Dixie was going away over Christmas, was gone for a month or so, needed to put his cat in a cattery, what requirements would his cat need to get...
To go into a cattery?
Yeah,
we've got one on site at our shelter as well. So I guess the first thing is your cat needs to be up to date with vaccinations. Ideally, D-sex is very handy because otherwise, especially male cats like to pee on everything and set all the other cats off. Mm-hmm. So vaccinated is the most important. Up to date with flea and worming. And then you'd bring any little bits and pieces.
His pockets have been pinched.
Comfy.
He got no nuts.
Oh, I see. That's not a bad thing, buddy. It's definitely a good thing when it comes to cats.
I'm the same.
Yeah.
Now, you were telling us just before off air that vaccination is a bit of a tricky subject at the moment.
Yes.
What's going on with cat vaxxers?
So, bit of a tricky one for sure. It's thrown a spanner in the works. So there is a shortage worldwide with cat vaccinations at the moment. Something to do with COVID. I don't even know. COVID screwed everything up. But cat vaccinations are in short supply. So most vet clinics have no F3 vaccinations. That also means that places like us, shelters and pounds, are also in a lot of strife because we need to legally vaccinate the cats in our care. And when we have no vaccinations, it's hard to, we can't rehome cats. So they're stuck with us for longer. So then when new cats come in, it's a whole problem right now. So Christmas is always difficult this time of year for shelters. This has made it harder.
So you're accepting cats?
We are.
But you can't then rehome them because you don't have the vaccinations.
Correct. So we're trying to work around things, but you know, it's bad timing. Definitely.
Can you just give a cat a COVID vaccine and that'll do.
Which is why Rachel is not a vet.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I'm never planned
daggers.
On being
never
one.
Said I was, Deeksy.
No, never said I was. There's so many things that we need to be aware of at this time of year. And one that we touch on semi-regularly is food.
Definitely.
Food. Now, I like to treat my doggos that come up to me and ask for a piece of ham, but is that actually okay?
Well, let me say, you need to be very careful with foods like hams over Christmas. Mm. The fat content, this is the issue. It's, you know, not good for our guts. It's definitely not good for a dog's gut.
Is it just going to make them fat?
No.
Or, okay. All
pancreatitis.
Right.
Have you heard of pancreatitis? So being a vet nurse by trade, I have seen many animals come into care with emergencies, essentially vomiting, diarrhea. And it's a different type of vomit, let me tell you. When they have pancreatitis, they get very, very sick. It can be fatal if left untreated. And it's generally caused by fatty food. So, you know, barbecues, you know, the fat that accumulates under a barbecue.
Yeah.
Dogs think it's the bee's knees,
of course.
The most delicious, disgusting, tasty thing in the world. That if they lick that or, you know, devour that, that ends up making them extremely sick. And
look at a Labrador will eat anything anytime, all the time. So,
absolutely.
And you're not doing them any favors.
No.
You know,
no.
When you say, oh, look at the eyes. Oh, you know, here you go.
Treats. Now, another problem that I have food-wise, dogs, not a food source, toys. Dogs that rip apart toys and then eat them.
Yes.
Should we, if we have a dog that we know is a terror part of things, should we just avoid giving them toys and just go for actual treat
picking
options?
The right toys, Rach, is the most important thing. So if you've got a Staffy with, you know, that's a toy destroyer, and I've seen them, trust me, there's dogs that I've found no toys that work. It's just picking the right toy. So maybe your Shih Tzu, you know, you could give something fluffy and small to that'll probably de-squeak that toy in 2 seconds. Right. But it's finding the right toy. So if they are a destroyer, you make sure that you've got something specific. Go to your local pet store. Tell them the issues that you're having. Things like Kongs in most cases will work, but there are stronger toys out there for the most avid chewer.
Do you know the crazy thing about my cat, Simon the Siamese? I've spent about
Simon sounds like a terror.
Yeah, no, Simon's absolutely good. Never hissed, never. Yeah. It's just great, especially with the old Shih Tzu. Spent about $10,000 on cat toys.
Oh, God.
And the only thing he wants to play with is this crunched up piece of paper that I throw. Goes like, oh yeah, whatever.
Bottle caps are the best. Soccer bottle caps, you know.
That's it. Yeah, forget all that.
And how can, okay, this is, I've got so many questions today. Okay, so another thing, we got a baby staying at our house at the moment. Dog came and visited, went, oh, toys galore. Is there a way that you can teach your dog not to steal the children's toys?
Keep them away from him.
Just keep them away.
Baby gates. Look, I'm sure you can teach your dog to do most things, but I think the main thing is just separate them. If you don't want a thing destroyed, keep it away from your dog.
A Shih Tzu's got my dummy.
I know. I feel so bad because I had to put him outside because Bubba was having a play in her ball pit and he was like, colourful ball!
Sorry, I have this image in my head of your Shih Tzu running around with a bloody dummy in its mouth like a baby.
Yeah. Oh, Shih Tzu's got my dummy.
Thank you so much, Marissa, for joining us this morning.
Guys.
I feel like I've unloaded all of my much-needed animal questions.
If we want to give you money because you do good works and you don't take any money from the government and it's all you volunteers, how can we find out about Second Chance?
You can jump onto our website at secondchanceanimalrescue.com.au. Lots of information about the work we do, and if you are in a position to donate, you can definitely do it there.
Happy, happy, roof, 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 and meow, meow, meow.
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 Thank you. Enjoy breakfast. Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
The Australian Ballet presents Oscar, a new ballet by Christopher Wheeldon based on the life and writings of Oscar Wilde. Don't miss the world premiere of this powerful production, September 13 to 24 at Melbourne's Regent Theatre. Book now.
This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy.